Vandehang Sri Guru.
The following is a class on the nectar of devotion given by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 28th of December 1972 in Bombay, India.
Transcendental loving service of the Lord does not finish with the end of life. It continues perpetually and is therefore called Amrita, that which does not die but exists eternally.
This is the importance of Krishna consciousness, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Tattva sadhanmam charanam mujam hare bhajan napakotho patetato jedi jatra kava abhatra abhut amushakeng kuvarthaya apto abhajatang sadharma. Just like sometimes they say that in this moment, just like the cinema, the hippies are joining, accepting that hippies are hippies, man, they are useless. They are joining. And Bhagavad says that those who are very dutiful, they are called sadharma nishtha. Sadharma nishtha. According to Vedic culture, there are different divisions of the society. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha. So these are called sadharma, mean engaged in one's occupational duty. That is called sadharma. Or in the modern sense, somebody is engaged in business, somebody is engaged in other occupation, profession. Every man has got some engagement. That's a fact. Bhagavad says that tattva sadharma charanam bhujam hare. Anyone, even by sentiment or by any reason, he gives us his own occupational duty and takes shelter of Krishna or joins this Krishna consciousness movement. Tattva sadharmam charanam bhujam hare. All right, if one has joined this Krishna consciousness movement doing very nicely, is improving, that's all right. But if he falls down, because sometimes they come out of sentiment, join this movement, and again falls down. Sometimes, not very occasionally. But there is chance, because Maya is very strong, one may fall down. Bhagavad says, bhajan apakotho patetato jadi. He is not mature. In an immature stage, by some reason or other, if he falls down, then jatra kava avhadra hut amushakin, then what is the loss there? There is no loss. Suppose he joined out of sentiment and executed devotional service for some time under the direction of the spiritual master, according to the regulation of the shastra. But incidentally, he falls down. He becomes a victim to the Maya. But Bhagavad says still there is no loss. There is no loss. On the other hand, a person who is engaged in his occupational duty very sincerely, he has not become a devotee. But Bhagavad says, what does he gain? One who is engaged in his occupational duty very sincerely, doesn't care for Krishna consciousness, then Bhagavad says, what does he get? He doesn't gain anything. But that man who joined this Krishna consciousness movement out of sentiment, but immaturely, he falls down, he has no loss. Try to understand this. Because this Krishna consciousness is the consciousness of the spirit soul, that is reality. Therefore, as the soul is eternally, his advancement in that consciousness, that also become an eternal asset that will never be lost. Even if he falls down in this life, he could not execute 100% the duties in Krishna consciousness, even if he falls down. So whatever he has done in this life, that becomes a permanent asset. So that from next life, he will be given chance. In ordinary karmi's life, there is no guarantee that he will get next life a human body. According to his karma, he will get a body, maybe animal body or maybe demigod's body. But there is no certainty that he will get a human body. But this man, who out of sentiment joined in Krishna consciousness movement and immaturely falls down, he is guaranteed to get a very nice human body. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that Suchinam Simatangihi Jugabhrishta Sanjaya. He will get birth in a family, Suchinam. Suchinam means pious Brahmin family or devotee's family. He will get birth. Or in rich family. The second class will get in rich family. But both these families will give them chance to begin where he ended his Krishna consciousness in the last life. He'll begin from there. That is his opportunity. Therefore there is no loss. His next life as human being is guaranteed, even if he's fallen out. But the others who does not take to Krishna consciousness, doing his own duty, but he will get a body according to his karma. That is the difference between the karmis and the devotee. Devotee, even if he is not successful to execute the devotional schedule perfectly, but whatever he has done, 10%, 20%, 50%, that is his asset. It will never be lost. That is being said. God.
This is confirmed in all Vedic literatures. The Bhagavad Gita says that a little advancement in bhakti rasa can save the devotee from the greatest danger, that of missing the opportunity for human life.
Yes. Salpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. Just like Ajami. Ajami, in his boyhood, he was very sincere Brahmin. He was conducting devotional service under the direction of his father. But in youthhood, he fell down. He became a victim of a prostitute. He forgot everything. He became a rogue, drunkard, meat-eater, woman-hunter, all foreigner. But at the end of life, when he was afraid of the Jamadutas, out of fearfulness, he called for his youngest son, whose name was Narayan. Because when you are in danger, naturally, just like a child, cries for the mother, because mother is the only. Similarly, affection is there. Similarly, this Ajami asked for the youngest child, Narayan, but immediately he remembered that Narayan, whom he served in his boyhood. So immediately the Narayan messengers came and saved him. Salpamapi, he executed very little service in his boyhood as a devotee. That saved him from the greatest danger. He was being dragged out by the men of Jamaraj. But the Vishnu Duta came and protected him and took him to Vaikuntha. Salpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. By chance, he remembered Narayan because he executed Narayan's service. And there he was saved. Right.
The rasas derived from our feelings in social life, in family life, or in the greater family life of altruism, philanthropism, nationalism, socialism, communism, etc., do not guarantee that one's next life will be as a human being.
Yes, there is no guarantee. Now, today I am very great leader, minister, that's all right. But after that, there is no guarantee that he will become agent minister or big man, big businessman. There is no such guarantee. That will have to accept another body according to your karma. Suppose as businessman, I have done very nicely, I have given in charity, that's nice, you get better life. But for business sake, I have earned money by hook and crook, my mentality just like crocodile or dog, then I have to become a crocodile. Because after death you are in the hands of nature. You cannot dictate that give me this and that body. No. That you have to prepare in this life. If you prepare yourself in this life to go back to home, back to Godhead, you go back to home, back to Godhead. If you prepare your this life as a crocodile, then you become a crocodile. So God is very kind. So it is your business to what kind of body you are going to get next. Just like the example I was giving last night, that we are staying in this room and suppose after a month we have to give it up. So we must find out another apartment. It may be better or it may be lower. There is no guarantee. But if we can arrange, we can get better apartment than this. And if we cannot, we may go to hell's apartment. This is the way. But for the devotee, at least it is guaranteed that he gets next life as a human. Not only human being, but in the family of a devotee or in the family of a rich man. These alternatives are there. Then,
we prepare our next life by our actual activities in the present life. A living entity is offered a particular type of body as a result of his action in the present body. These activities are taken into account by a superior authority known as Doiva.
People do not believe this. They think that everything is going on automatically. No. There is everything, account, witness, the Lord, Anumanta Upadrashta, Shakhine, Shakhine, the Lord, Ishara Sarvabhutana Nitese. Everything is being witnessed and that is being recorded. So, just like in an office, in government service, there is service record. And at the end of the year, everything is considered. So the man is promoted, given some bonus, or the proprietor or the directors, they are not meeting that man. But the service record is there. Similarly, whatever we are doing, good or bad, that is being recorded and it is examined. Karmana Daiva Netrena. We are acting and there is superior authority. They are examining what kind of body he has to get next. That science is not being taught, that what is our next body. They are thinking that there is no next body, there is no life, this life is finished. But that is not the fact. This life I have changed. I was a child, I got next body. I was a boy, I got next body. I was a young man, I got next body. Now I have got this body, so I will have not this body, I will get next body. Where is the division to understand? I have already experienced the next body, next body, next body. Why not after that next body? That the intelligence is to know what is that next body. And that is my inherent. It's like if you become educated highly, your next post is very nice. But if you are not educated, then your next post is not very nice. Similarly, if you act in this body very nicely, Janti Deva Vrata Devan Kitrin Janti Kitrin Vrata. So you can prepare your next life. So our this Krishna consciousness movement is next life to go back to Krishna directly. That is our program. How? Simply by knowing Krishna. That's all. Krishna guarantees this. Janma karma me vidvam jo janati tattva. If we want to go back to home, back to Godhead, simply try to understand what is Krishna. And he is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita. But if you foolishly misinterpret Krishna, then you go to hell. But if you understand Krishna, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, then you go back to Krishna. Where is the difficulty? The rascal, they will not understand Krishna as Krishna says. The rascal will mislead others and mislead himself. He will go himself to hell and they will drag all others to hell. This is why. This is why. Everything is there, very plain and clear. One has to act according to that. He gets the benefit. But they will not allow. These rascal leaders, they will not allow. They will represent Krishna as something else. The only business is to kill Krishna. That's all. Not to accept that Krishna is fact. All the commentaries in the Bhagavad Gita, you see, they're simply trying to make Krishna is not fact. It is some fictitious. It is some story. Mental speculation. This is everything. Demonic. So, the condition is very dangerous. People are being misled. We are only, it is not our pride, it is fact. We are the only institution that are trying to give the greatest benefit to the human society, the Krishna consciousness. Tattadiyam punarjanmanaiti imameiti kovdiya. Anyone who understands, if he understands, it is not possible to understand fully Krishna. Krishna is unlimited. As he presents himself, Krishna, as he says himself, if we understand, Krishna says, I am the origin of everything. You take it, Krishna is the origin of everything. Yes, prove, Krishna is the origin of everything. All the acharyas, big acharyas, accepted him. Krishna is the origin of everything. Arjuna, who heard Bhagavad Gita, he accepted him. Krishna is the origin. Param brahma param dhama pavittam paramam. Why we should try to understand Krishna otherwise? What is this foolishness? But that is their scholarship. That is their knowledge. If somebody can most rascally explain Bhagavad Gita, he is a great scholar. This is really funny. He is the rascal number one and misleading people, he is a great scholar. And we are simply presenting Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says, surrender unto me, we say surrender to Krishna. These are primitive. We are not scholars. These rascals are going on. So you want to save people from these rascals, there is Krishna consciousness. The rascals have created a situation by defying Krishna's authority. Atheistic situation, the whole world is in chaos. That must be. When there are leaders, only demons, how there can be any peace? The people are also becoming demons. So, our this movement is very scientific, authorized. If you preach, there is no difficulty, as it is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Simply, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Then you are successful, and those who hear you, they are also successful. Simple method. Go on.
These activities are taken into account by a superior authority known as Daiva, or the authority of God. This Daiva is explained in the Bhagavad Gita as the prime cause of everything.
There are five causes. Karta, the doer, the place, the instrument, and providence. In this way, there are five causes for acting anything. It's like you are doing business. So, if you are a nice businessman, that's very good asset. If you place your business in a marketplace, there is good opportunity. If you have got sufficient capital, good instrument, and if God is favorable, then your business is success. Similarly, in anything, there are five causes. And the ultimate cause is Daiva. You may make everything very nicely. You may become a good businessman, you have got sufficient capital, you are conducting your business in a very nice center, downtown, everything. But if God is not favorable, then everything will spoil. Everything will spoil. So therefore, this cause, favorable. Of course, God is kind to everyone. But we see sometimes that everything is perfectly done, but still it is poor. Just like a man. A man is suffering from some disease, and you have employed first-class physician, first-class medicine, first-class everything, but still the man dies. What is the cause? The cause is daiva. In spite of all your endeavors, because God does not like that he should live, you cannot save him. You cannot save him. The same example again I want to give, the Titan. They made the sea very strong, and they are so assured that all the big men, they are on board the Titanic sea, and that was first journey, and immediately they are turned into this mast. That's a great incident. Therefore, this is a fact that you may arrange everything very nicely according to your best knowledge. But if God is unfavorable, then you cannot do it. Daiva. Nachadaivat param balam. Therefore it is said, there is no other superior strength than daiva. One has to accept this. But
in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that a man takes his next body by daiva netrena, which means by the supervision of the authority of the Supreme. In an ordinary sense,
daiva netrena. So we have to get our body next according to the superior, daiva. Superior means God, God's arrangement. God is witnessing what kind of body I will have. Then,
in an ordinary sense, daiva is explained as destiny. Daiva supervision gives us a body selected from 8,400,000 forms.
Yes.
The choice does not depend on our selection, yes, but is awarded to us according to our destiny.
You cannot say that I am Indian, I have got my love for India, and I will get again birth as Indian leader. You may get birth in India because you have got strong attachment, but it may not be as leader. It may be as cats and dogs, or cows or goat. Then you will be sent to the slaughterhouse, even though you are Indian, or any country, American. So these are simply sentiments. People do not know this science. They think that I am doing right as philanthropist, as nationalist. But he forgets that he is under the full control of materialism. You cannot plan. The ultimate plan is sanctioned by God or by his agent, the Prakriti. You cannot make your plan. You get the result of your present activity, karma form. No.
If our body at present is engaged in the activities of Krishna consciousness, then it is guaranteed that we will have at least a human body in our next life. A human being engaged in Krishna consciousness, even if unable to complete the course of bhakti yoga, is allowed to take birth in the higher division of human society so that he can automatically further his advancement in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, all bona fide activities in Krishna consciousness are amrita, or permanent.
Yeah, amrita, bhakti das amrita.
This is the subject matter of the Nectar of Devotion.
God.
This eternal engagement in bhakti rasa can be understood by a serious student upon studying the Nectar of Devotion. Adoption of bhakti rasa, or Krishna consciousness, will immediately bring one to an auspicious life free from anxieties and will bless one with transcendental existence, thus minimizing the value of liberation. Bhakti rasa itself is sufficient to produce a feeling of liberation because it attracts the attention of the Supreme Lord, Krishna.
Bhakti rasa is better than liberation, mukti, because generally the Mayavadi philosophers, Jnani Sampradaya, they consider mukti means to merge into the spiritual existence, Brahma. Brahma sajujya mukti. To merge into the impersonal Brahma effulgence of the Absolute. they consider it, that is the highest. And the Buddha philosophers, they think to make all these activities zero, sunnavaya, dismantle, because on account of this combination of matter, heart, water, fire, air, this body is made, the body is subjected to pains and pleasure on account of this mixture. So Buddha philosophy is that you dismantle this mixture, let heart go to the heart portion, water go to the water portion, there is no existence of the body and there is no pains and pleasure. Make it zero. This is called sunnavada. And Mayavadi, their philosophy is that stop this variegatedness. We are suffering pains or pleasure within this material on account of these varieties. So these varieties, they are built up on the foundation of the Supreme Spirit. So merge into the Supreme Spirit, get out of these varieties. This is their philosophy. So the Buddha philosophy or the Mayavada philosophy, they are almost one, because their ultimate goal is to make things zero. But our philosophy is different. Our philosophy is that as there are varieties in this material world, there are varieties in the spiritual world. That variety, just like the sky, in the sky there are varieties. There are different kinds of planets floating in the sky. Ordinarily seeing in daytime, we see the sky is vacant. Sky is vacant. It is not vacant. It is the defect of my eyes that I cannot see the varieties. At night we can see the varieties. There are so many planets, so many stars, and each of them full of varieties, just like this planet. We learn from the Shastra, jasya prabha prabhavato jagadanna koti, kotisu asesa vasudhadi bhinna. There are innumerable universes. This universe is one only. And each and every universe, there are millions of planets. And each of them has got special significance. Just like this moon planet, this sun planet, this earth planet, each one has got significance. Here, the bodies are earthly. In the sun planet, the bodies are fire, fiery. Similarly, in the moon planet, the bodies are different. Each and every planet, they do not know. They want to go with this body to the moon planet. That is not possible. Just like if you want to live in the water with this body, that is not possible. You have to get a body suitable for living in the water. So that you have to prepare. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Jānti deva vrata deva. These people are going to the moon planet, trying to go. They have not gone. But they do not know that with this body they cannot live there. That is not possible. They might be going to the moon planet in the deserted portion and they are coming back. But moon planet is not desert. We get information, it is one of the heavenly planets. They are not going to the right place that we have suggested in many places. So anyway, there are varieties. As there are varieties in this material world, similarly there are varieties in the spiritual world. This material world is only a reflection of the spiritual world. So unless we get shelter in one of the planets of the spiritual world, if we simply merge into the Brahma effulgence, we cannot stay there for long. Just like in the sky, if you simply fly your aeroplane only the sky, you don't get any shelter in any planet, you will have to come back again. You cannot stay in the sky. Similarly, those who are merging into the Brahma effulgence, they cannot stay there, because we, as living entity, we want a variety. Just like when I was traveling in the... Everyone has that experience, either the sky or the water. So, for weeks together, simply water on board the sea, it becomes very much sickness. That is called sea sickness. As soon as there is some land visible, oh, there is land again. Because we want varieties. So, those who are trying to merge into the varietyless Brahma effulgence, they cannot stay there. That information we get from Srimad Bhagavatam. Arujjakritchena parang padang tata padanti adha. After great perseverance, austerity, penances, they merge into the Brahma effulgence, but they again fall down. They again fall down. So, that is not our ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. Arujjakritchena parang padang tata. Jannir vindakha vimukta manina. Simply to concoct that I become liberated. Jannir vindakha vimukta manina. Tai astha bhavad avasuddha buddha. Those who are thinking that they have become liberated simply by merging into the Brahma effulgence, they are avasuddha buddha. They are still, their intelligence is not very clear, not purified. Why? Now although they have gone there, and thinking that they are liberated, arujjakritchena param patan, they will fall down. They cannot remain because there is no varieties. And our life, because we are living entity, we want varieties. Without varieties, it is hectic. We cannot stay there. Therefore they fall down. Those who merge into the Brahma effulgence, they fall down. Therefore a bhakta does not accept the Brahma, Brahmananda. Brahmananda they know. Brahmananda is, there is Brahmananda. There is liberation from the material ananda. But unless one is engaged in sevananda, service of the Lord, this Brahmananda will not be sufficient to keep him in the spiritual world.
Well, generally neophyte devotees are anxious to see Krishna or God, but God cannot be seen or known by our present materially blunt senses. The process of devotional service, as it is recommended in the Nectar of Devotion, will gradually elevate one from the material condition of life to the spiritual status, wherein the devotee becomes purified of all designations. The senses can then become uncontaminated, being constantly in touch with bhakti rasa. When the purified senses are employed in the service of the Lord, one becomes situated in bhakti rasa life. And any action performed for the satisfaction of Krishna in this transcendental bhakti rasa stage of life can be relished perpetually. When one is thus engaged in devotional service, all varieties of rasas or mellows turn into eternity. In the beginning, one is trained according to the principles of regulation under the guidance of the acharya or spiritual master, and gradually, when one is elevated, devotional service becomes automatic and spontaneous eagerness to serve Krishna. There are 12 kinds of rasas.
Yes.
Which will be...
Just like we have seen, we have experienced, sometimes the car becomes blocked, but if some fellow pushes it, we have got this experience. What is called like chokta? Then you get down and push the car and bhat, it goes. Similarly, the bhakti rasa is there in everyone's heart. Nitya siddha Krishna bhakti. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Just like father and son. A father and son may be separate for many, 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 many years. But as soon as they meet together, again the same affection comes. Again the same affection comes. Wife and husband. Therefore, sannyas is strictly prohibited to see his wife. Because there is staunch affection. By meeting, again that affection may come. It may fall down. That is strictly prohibited, at least. Other members can be seen, but not the wife. So, the fact is that we have got devotion for Krishna. That is fact. But somewhere or other, we are separated and we have forgotten. So as soon as, by this regulatory principle, by the order of the spiritual master, by the injunction of the shastras, we begin devotional service, just like our students do here, They are offering aratri, they are offering dress, offering flowers. These are the items of archana, hearing about him, chanting about him. This devotional service is the pushing process. And as soon as the energy comes, then automatically. This pushing process is required. So, just to invoke or revive the dormant Krishna consciousness. Therefore, this bhakti process has to be, Krishna also says, bhaktya mam abhijanati, javanjaschami tattam. The simple process is, if you understand Krishna tattata in truth, then your life is successful. As soon as you understand Krishna tattata, then taktadeham punarjanvanaiti, you don't have again in this material world. Don't get any material body. You go back home. Back. And this tattata, to understand Krishna, tattata, you have to take to the devotional service. This jnana process, or the karma process, or the yoga process, it can push you little farther. But just like if you push the car little farther, but unless the energy of the car comes into action, and this car will not go. So simply pushing is not sufficient. The car must come to its energy automatically, then it will go. So that process is bhakti. Bhaktyamam vijanati, java nishtha. All right, we shall discuss
more. On the moon planet, are there bodies of a more subtle nature so that if they did go there, they wouldn't be able to see them?
Huh? No, you can see them. They have got material body.
We could see them with our eyes?
Oh yes, why not? The body, just like in the water, the bodies of the aquatics are different, but you can see them. Why not? If it is not visible, how you are seeing the moon planet? You are seeing the moon planet, so it is visible, not invisible. And our point is, that these people, first of all, whether they are going to the moon planet, that is doubtful. At least I am doubtful. Because we get information from the Shastra that there is a planet which is called Rahu, that is very near to moon. And that Rahu sometimes comes in front of the moon planet, and that is called Chandragraha, a lunar eclipse. So, that Rahu planet is dark. So they might be going to this Rahu planet, not to the moon planet. Meaning, because that is very near. A moon planet is heavenly planet. Heavenly planet. There are demigods, they live. So we get this information. Or, just like if somebody comes to this earthly planet and drops in the Arabian desert, he may conclude that this is desert. But there is Europe, America, nice cities and nice bungalows. But he has no chance to see them. So these people are going. They have no chance. Maybe they are also diverting them to the deserted portion of the moon. They are also intelligent. So these people are coming from earthly planet, unauthorized. So let them divert it to the deserted portion. There are so many things. So therefore, because if moon planet is heavenly planet, they are more intelligent than you. If you have got some machine to reach there, they have got some machine to divert it. Why not think like that? That these rascals are coming here without any immigration license. Let them be diverted to the deserted portion and disappointed they will go back. So many things are there. Therefore they are not successful. Neither they will be ever successful. Take it, I may die, but you take it. Right. They will never be successful. I have already written these things in my easy journey to other planet. This is childish. It is not possible.
Is there earth in their bodies, or is their body made out of air?
No. This body, these five elements, earth, air, water, air, fire, the ether, and the subtle body, mind, intelligence and ego, So, in some planet, the earthly portion may be major, the higher portion may be major, in some planet, the ether portion may be major, but they are all material bodies. They are material bodies. They are not spiritual bodies. Spiritual body is within. Within the universe, anywhere you go, you get the material body. And according to the body, the duration of life is different. It's like a germ's body, that is also material body. And a human body, that is also material body. But a germ takes birth and dies within second or minute. We live for 100 years. And both of them material body. Similarly, Brahma has got also material bodies. Those who are living in the moon planet, they are also material body. In the sun planet, they are got material, but different varieties. They live 10,000 years. Of the Daiva, 10,000. Daiva means our 1 6 months equal to 1 day there. Such 10,000 years they live. That is calculated in Bhagavad Gita. Sahasra Juga Pajantam Arahat Chant Brahmano Vidu. So that is 12 hours. Sahasra Juga. These 4 yugas, Satya Trita Dapar Yugas, that 43 lakhs of years. And multiply it by 1,000, that becomes Brahma's 12 hours. So, according to the different planet, according to the orbit, the time duration, everything is different. Ants 100 years and my 100 years are not the same. It is relative, atomic. According to the body, according to the size, the scientific world also accepts relative world. Your assets of pious activities is finished. Then you come back again. Instead of going back to home, you come back again to this earth. Punap punap charyuta charvana. Going back. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ei rupe brahmanda bhramite kuna bhagavadhi. In this way we are wandering from one life to another, one planet to another. If one is fortunate, he gets the clue of devotional service and makes his life perfect and goes back to home, back to home. Jadgatyana nimatranti taddhano paramama. One who goes to my abode, he never comes back. This is the perspective. Ratrasa, you are a scientist, so how do you think our explanation? Does it tally with your scientific?
Our science has not come to this stage to explain all these things.
Yes. Science has no explanation actually.
For material men like us, it is not possible to accept it is because we do not know. I do not see it may not be there, but all we can say that we are still in the dark or ignorant about the...
But we have to take knowledge from superior authority. I am always not in knowledge. That is my position. But we take knowledge from superior authority. So we are taking knowledge from Krishna, the most superior authority. Vedic system, it is advised, tad vijnanartham sa guru meva abhigacchet. That is the system. It's like you are a medical man. To acquire your knowledge, you have to accept the medical college, the professors. So, this is natural. If we want to know something or which is unknown to me, then we have to accept a guru, a superior man. Guru means superior man. Tad vijnanartham sa guru meva abhigacche. Guru means heavy or superior. That is the law. So, our process of Vedic knowledge is that we get knowledge from the superior, just like Brahma, Lord Brahma. He is the first original creature within this universe. And he got knowledge from God, Krishna, the Absolute. The Vedas means the knowledge which he heard. Tene Brahma Rida Adikavaye. So, there is sampradaya. Brahma imparted this knowledge to Narada, Narada imparted this knowledge to Vyasadeva, evam parampara. This is our process of knowledge. We get knowledge from the superior. Everyone gets knowledge from the superior. Nobody gets knowledge automatically. That is not possible. So, things which are beyond the perception of our senses, how we can get that knowledge? By our mental speculation, it is never perfect. We give sometimes this example. If you want to know who is my father, that is not possible to know, simply by mental speculation. If we approach the authority mother, we get the knowledge immediately. So, knowledge from the authority is perfect. Knowledge by mental speculation is always important. This is our conclusion. If you get knowledge, any knowledge, from the perfect, that knowledge is perfect. And if you get knowledge from imperfect, that knowledge is always imperfect. This is our process. Therefore, the Veda says, tad-vijñānārthaṁ sa guru-meva bhajate. One must approach the superior who is in knowledge, then he gets the knowledge. Sometimes disagree, but our point is very strong, that you cannot get perfect knowledge from imperfect person. That is not possible. That's a fact. You can get knowledge only from the perfect. That is real knowledge. The modern scientific knowledge, taking perfection, the next year again changes. This theory is changed. So they say that this is advancement. We are making progress. This means whatever knowledge you are making your basis, that is imperfect. Progress means then you have to go to the perfect. That means the knowledge which you possess, that was imperfect. Again you say, from imperfect platform we are going to the perfect. But if we get from the perfect this knowledge, then we get perfect knowledge from the perfect person. Perfect person means he does not commit mistake. He is not illusion. His senses are not imperfect. And he does not cheat. This is the four points of perfection. The cheating propensity is there. To the imperfect person, there is cheating propensity. He knows that in this point I am not very clear, but still he gives some idea. That is cheating. There are so many, Darwin's theory, others. Perhaps it may be like this. These words are there, used. What is the use of this perhaps? That means imperfect knowledge. It may be there is something missing. So how we can believe on this imperfect knowledge? Now we don't take this knowledge. Perhaps maybe. Just like in the Shastra it is said, jalyanam lakhayami. There are 900,000 forms of aquatic life. 900,000. In the Vedas, it is said. It doesn't say one more at two less. 900,000. Jalajana mulakhani, sthavara lakhavinshati, krimayam rudra sankaka, the living entities. So, Veda, that is Vedic knowledge. Ved means knowledge, perfect knowledge. So, this is the process our Vedic civilization, all the great acharyas, teachers, they accept knowledge from the Vedas. Because we accept it, Vedas perfect. Sometimes they say that Vedas are also written by human beings. No, it is not written by human beings. It is hard. Therefore it is called Shruti. So, tene brahma nida adhikavaya. The knowledge, Vedic knowledge was first impregnated by the Supreme Lord in the heart of Brahma.